Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hello, Iron Fist fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Iron Fist After Show. Today we are covering episodes 5 and 6, Under Leaf, Pluck Lotus, and Immortal Emerges from Cave. We'll see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
You kind of have to start with this when you have a tournament setting.
Yeah.
You just do it.
You do.
We have a light show!
Yeah, that was back in college days for me.
Didn't you do this in Mortal Kombat, too?
Of course.
Like, flashing lights.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God, this is... I love this song. I love this song so much.
It's good tunes.
It is good tunes. All right, welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Iron Fist After Show. Thank you for joining us again. Today we are looking at episodes 5 and 6, Under Leaf, Pluck Lotus, and Immortal Emerges from Cave, which is like hipster autocorrect poetry. Like, wow.
Yeah, at first it sounded like they were martial arts styles or punches or moves, but now it's just kind of like, oh, that, what you said is much better. That's hipster poetry.
That second one sounds like, you know, it's a Punxsutawney Phil report. Immortal Emerges from Cave, see Shadow returns for 6 more weeks of winter. With me, I have Mike Kalinowski.
Hello, guys. How are we doing today? Sorry, I missed last week. I missed you guys.
But well, welcome back.
Here we go. Thank you very much. Rocking my Iron Fist t-shirt.
Yeah.
If I get a chance to rock this out.
What's your Twitter?
It's at Mike Kalinowski. Check me out there.
We have Emmanuel Wright.
Yeah. Hey, Emmanuel Wright. You can find me on Twitter at DearVidSpitz. You can also find me on IG at Young Camel Toe.
Lucretia Lyon.
Hey guys,
welcome.
Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, this is my first time joining the Iron Fist After Show and actually wearing a Marvel shirt on a Marvel show. But since there is only one, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is the only one.
Jesse couldn't join us tonight. He is feeling under the weather, so please tweet him your well wishes. I'm Katie Cullen, and I am wearing inverse Iron Fist colors because this is how I live my life. You can find me on the social medias at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. If you are watching live, we have a YouTube chat. Feel free to pop in and say fun stuff. We also have our hashtag on Twitter, ABTVIronFist. Feel free to use that during the show and after the show. We do look at that throughout the week. If you have something fun to say, if you have any questions or comments, put them in the hashtag, put them in the live chat. You may well get a shout out. It's getting better.
Yeah.
That's
it's getting better.
I will say, like, there were actually a few moments that I really, really liked because Danny is kind of becoming a character and he hadn't been before. Like, the scene where he brings takeout to Connie. I'm like, this is cute. I can go with this.
Honestly, my favorite part of that scene was Claire noticing that, like, okay, something is off and sticking around because that is what you do.
Yeah, not taking off.
It's a go bag. You know, like, you're going to use these? And she walks out the rest. Like,
that is also what you do.
You know, she's not working at the hospital anymore. She's got to get, you know, any way she can. I like that Claire's a very practical woman there. Yeah.
I just love her character. Yes. I love her every time she pops up. I think she is just such a strong actress as it is. But she just adds weight to all the scenes she's in. I just love her character. So
I love that we have sheer competency and a little bit of why me and a lot more of fine, fine.
And she's almost just like the character that really ties them all together.
Yeah.
She's
she has
been on every show. She really fits in well with any of them. You know, we just need a nightmare show where she's just always patching up these damn superheroes.
I actually really need this in my life. I would be down for that. Even if it was just kind of like a half-hour sitcom or a very short drama, like, I'd be down.
That'd be fun, yeah.
I mean, I know the shows are taking its own path, but I'm kind of waiting for her, Jessica, and Luke to have that little triangle thing that's going to happen, because that's going to be...
Oh, yeah.
That's hopefully we'll see in Defenders, and that kind of drama is awesome.
Do you think the Iron Fist will end up hooking up with her, too?
Him and Colleen. I think that's
most likely.
But I mean, all of the characters so far, all the male characters have had some type of relationship.
With Claire?
True. All of them. I'm just saying, like, at least one episode.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, Matt Murdock in there.
Yeah.
I continue to have the most people don't have the time of day for this incarnation of Danny Rand.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it was Comics Danny Rand, maybe. Yeah. He's got some game. But this guy, I think he's clueless.
But Comics Danny Rand and Misty Knight is the go-to ship for the comics.
That's true. Yeah. And now, I don't... But her and Luke weren't really...
I heard it's not going that way for this. And again, we're trying to stay spoiler-free.
That's right.
Twitter does what Twitter does, and not everyone's on the same page. So, mostly spoiler-free, but... We have not seen beyond episode 6, so please keep the hashtag spoiler-free. Please keep the comments spoiler-free in case other people are watching along with us, in which case I applaud your self-control. Yeah, so we're only up to episode 6, y'all.
Right. And I'm like, I'd love to see Misty Knight really show this Danny Rand what it's like to be a man. Now I want to have that, because I think it was sweet. And to me, this scene that I really liked, the takeout scene, Colleen was a little thrown by him. Yeah, I took a vow of chastity. So that's a, you know, they're a sweet little relationship, but maybe he needs a stronger woman and then Misty Knight, because Colleen's a badass, but she's a little bit more soft-spoken, which fits with Danny as he is right now, but... Well, who knows?
And we had a fun and interesting and slightly weird moment with the whole sexuality thing with the daughter, with the Bride of Nine Spiders. That's what she was called.
Yeah.
The second person he fought in the tournament, just being like, oh, I could do this. Oh, I could do that.
Right, right.
Also, I'm sticking needles in you.
And like, he fell for that, too. I was like, come on, man. Like, you're in a tournament with, you know... Mrs. Gal, like, are you going to really just have sex during this tournament? You
know? He also went through puberty on a remote outpost.
Yeah.
That's so true. Okay. Yeah, he those formative years of his were with a bunch of monks, so...
I'm sure there's a fair amount of how do I woman going on there.
But he has a lot of money, so I'm sure, like... in the show, but there's prostitutes everywhere in New York. And there's, like, Tinder, and there's apps, and, like...
Yeah, but I don't think they even had Netflix on Kunlun, so, you know, he may not know about Tinder just yet, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Wow. And we went there.
The things we have to think about with Danny Rand and this version of him.
See, and I wish we had more fish out of water moments, because I did like...
Yeah.
We had one with Megan, with the, not the secretary, the assistant, earlier in this episode. And I really appreciated that, of him just sitting down with her and going, okay, so not really an apprentice, but if I asked you to do a thing, would you have to do it? And her saying... Well, I would make sure that it got done.
Right.
And I loved... God, the women in the show are amazing. I just love the wording of that the, no, I'm not your apprentice. No, I'm not going to run down the street and get you fruit roll-ups, but I can make sure fruit roll-ups come to you. Do you want fruit roll-ups? Like, no, I want information. Oh, well, I don't have that, but so-and-so on this floor with this has that. I can have her bring up a copy.
Yeah.
And I loved him folding that little origami flower and giving it to her. It's these little moments. It's just the little things that are like, yeah, you're a human being.
Right, yeah.
And then he buys Colleen's apartment building, and I just want to hit him in the face.
Yeah, that's the thing, is to me these two episodes sort of gave Danny more of a personality in a lot of ways. Like you say, the little origami, how sweet that was. But dude, you should never turn them fruit roll-ups, but...
we got a box of fruit by the foot in my office from Costco, the like 48 pack. There's six of us in the department. It lasted a week. Like, this is what happens when you give snacks to the tech department. They are gone.
We like food.
Yeah, a little bit. So we have, let's back it up a little. Let's talk about the cancer subplot that we have going on.
Yeah.
Because I like this tying into the Rand Enterprises side of things, and I like kind of showing that people will take advantage of his good nature and not just the, oh, your iron fist bit, but, oh, your compassionate bit. Because these, what, dozen people, they have cancer or their loved ones have cancer because of a Rand chemical plant that may or may not have chemical runoff going on. And it's all within the designs of the law.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not affecting
people. It's just like big tobacco companies, with what they deal with in their lawsuits and all that, probably. And so it's like they don't have proof, and it's all kind of circumstantial, but they do. And it's... Yeah. Rand probably would have gotten out of this.
They probably
paid him off and, you know, hushed him up with hush money, and they would have gotten off. But Danny does, you know, being Danny, which is kind
of
cool, though.
Fish out of water, you know.
There you go.
The company works. So.
And it's one thing with this woman going, oh, you know, this happened, I need help. And another thing to pan back and be like, oh, this was a setup, the lawyers got the phone.
Yeah.
I have to appreciate that as much as I am mad at them for that. Like, I have to appreciate how perfect that is.
Yeah, I like the way that it set up sort of Danny making a mistake in the corporate world, but then actually kind of making you like him for making the mistake as an audience member, because he really is this sort of naive, sweet boy. And I like Ghost 8386 in the chat says, Danny Rand is Manchild Man. I think that that's a good superhero name.
Manchild Man.
That would fit a lot of them. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like in the comments, leave us your best alternative names for Iron Fist. Just give us your different. These stayed in the workshop. They never made it to final draft. Different superhero names for this version of Danny Rand. Like, I need this in my life. Golden Doodle is one of my favorites.
Golden, I really like Golden Doodle. Doodle.
Golden Doodle.
How about Ignorance's Fist?
Oh! Emmanuel for the
win there. For you.
Damn.
Yeah, that's good.
I appreciate that. And I like this cancer bit. Kind of, I'm losing words today. Life is great. Danny's only in it just a little bit, but he touches it and it's like water ripples because then the company has to deal with
right.
it. And I love that it turns into Joy and Ward having a conversation and realizing that the office is bugged. Because immediately getting the text from Harold saying, do what Joy says, and just flipping off his entire office.
Yeah.
I was talking with one of my friends at one point, and she said, no, I think the Meachums have the best writing of anyone on the show. And I'm getting to the point where I can see why.
Yeah, that's the thing, is Joy and Ward, are especially, are way more fleshed out characters than Danny at this point.
They are.
Because you understand their motivations for what they do, whether you agree with them or not.
I was talking to someone about the show and how I feel and how they feel. And they enjoy the show but because they enjoy the Wards. And I'm just like, that's great, but the show is called Iron Fist. And your supporting characters are more interesting and you care more about that story than your main character. That's, I think, the fundamental problem of this show so far. But those characters are really well-developed. You know who they are as people. And Danny's just kind of floundering around, comes into a scene, goes out of a scene, comes into a scene. And
hey, handle this for me. Okay, I'll do that.
Even like Colleen on that side, Colleen and Claire are so well-developed.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of...
He really
navigated ping-pong between all of them. It's just like...
I don't know if any of you guys have seen Sword Art Online.
Oh. But
Sword Art Online.
No.
It's a similar idea. Our protagonist is like, well, Yusha are a protagonist superhero, and literally everyone around them is like, tell me more about your life. I want to know more about you. Yeah, sure, we have this guy running through and beating up people and saving the day. That's great. But tell me more about yourself, side character. You are far more interesting.
And that's,
it's the exact same thing.
And it's so Arrow. I know that there's always been the comparisons between Danny Rand and Oliver Queen. And I will say, I am finally to a point on that show where I like Oliver Queen. But up until this season, I was like, everybody else is way more interesting. I care more. I mean, especially the villains.
Yeah.
I mean, Malcolm's my favorite character in the DC universe. But yeah, so that's sort of how Danny Rand's being treated on Iron Fist. The comparisons just go.
I will agree to disagree with you, but I think Oliver had more going for him in season one of the show.
For sure.
Yeah.
You just didn't like him.
It's
like he had you don't development. Have to like you understood him, but
you don't have to like someone to find them interesting, though.
True.
I mean, that's half the MCU is, you are a terrible human being. Tell me more.
Yeah.
And this is why villains have fandoms.
Yes.
But yeah, watching Ward go, realizing that he is addicted to painkillers, and I'm like 98% certain he took that synthetic heroin that was sitting in his drawer.
Of course.
That was that drug trip.
Yeah.
Like, that was that really good life decision. And that was after... I wonder if that's not the first time that he figured... If that's the first time that he realized that Dad has cameras in his office and is watching him.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he wouldn't have had that extreme a reaction if he already knew.
Right, yeah. Agreed.
So, yeah.
But he's also on drugs, though, too. So maybe he knew and forgot. Maybe he was on a drug trip the first time he found out. I don't know. War's kind of everywhere.
And do we really blame him? If someone came to you and they're like, hey, I've got this whole new drug out here, would you not try it at least once?
I owned a company and like he probably saw the tapes of the guy getting knocked out or heard word of it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I guess I'm curious. I would do it.
There you go. Hey, teach the wrong.
Synthetic heroin? You take it?
Like, yeah.
Wow.
It's just like real
when it
heroin.
Just hits the market. Like,
yeah.
That was like, and they did that, yeah. that test on the one guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was, that was kind of, they needed cool. that scene, which was really cool.
Right.
That was, I love just watching those three women walk through the town and work. Like, just yeah. those little scenes of this is how we advertise this heroin. It's like, yeah, this is interesting. I like this. It's the little setup scenes like that. A lot of that is it, what makes a show.
And almost, again, no Danny in that. So it's just kind of like, all right. But, you know, they're building to yeah. it. You know, they're building with, and they built up Gao and the heroine ever since season one of Daredevil. So we kind of now are getting more into that, which is kind of cool.
But Danny's just more interesting in small doses.
I guess so.
He shows up, he beats people up, he right. smiles, and then he leaves. And it's like, that was great. Show me the other interesting people now that I can yeah. spend 3 hours with.
And is it just me noticing this? But in his action scenes where he's beating people up, they always, like, have... like one shot with him throwing like three punches and then they cut the scene and go to something else, like a different angle, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So like
yo, yes.
I wanted to just see like a long form fight scene, you know, like in Daredevil or something where you like saw it all going on, like, oh, that was cool. Or if Danny is kind of like, all right, cut this, all right, let's do another scene. Like,
but
are they
back
trying to hide?
Oh yeah,
the
absolutely
fact that
yeah
he doesn't know martial arts.
Oh yeah,
really.
Oh, yeah.
That
was
we're
happening?
Back to 3 weeks to train, 15 minutes to rehearse, and instead of hiring a martial artist who was also an actor, they hired an actor that did not get enough time to learn the skills he needed to know for the part. Like, yeah. this, it really does feel a lot like we have to knock this out before the Defenders, let's go.
But then, right. I mean, I don't know what happened, because in that scene, they're in the trailer, and mm-hmm. I'm going to jump a little ahead, mm-hmm. where they're rescuing, they're yeah. trying to rescue the guy. That scene was great. That fight scene was fantastic.
How much of it do you think was his stunt double, though?
But, I mean, regardless, if it was a stunt double, it's great, because it was dark in there.
Yeah.
But
dark.
They should be doing more of that. If your double's great, I mean, and again, they could have been solved by putting a mask on him or something.
Yeah,
not even
yeah.
a mask. I mean, hey, we'll show it later, but the Defenders trailer, Daredevil was more Iron Fist than Iron Fist is.
True.
With that little head wrap. That's all he needed.
And that's washcloth on his face, and it was a costume. It makes me so happy.
And that's the thing, is I feel that they sort of set themselves up to fail in a lot of ways because Daredevil is so good at
yeah.
the kung fu and these fight scenes. And they do these long forms. That's what we're all waiting for. And we're like, sweet, a whole kung fu show.
If anything should be good, it should be
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the wards.
I know.
It's like if you had to sacrifice stuff to get the yeah. fighting down. And like we talked about in, I think it was the first or second episode, when he's in that parade and he picks the dragon mask. That he should have just put the yellow cloth and wrapped it around his head and used that, and that's whenever he goes. But now he's got like the hood he wears, and it's just like he's got the Labrador doodle hair and his beard still. I'm just like,
It's yeah, it's missing big opportunities, and then it's also missing the small opportunities.
What did you guys think? Because okay, we see Hobo Rand for most of it, the beard, the shaggy hair. Wouldn't another missed opportunity, like he finally gets Rand, comes in suit and everything, nice haircut, clean shave, and then everyone in the office, the secretary's just like, gives him the double take. That's a missed moment. But then he can walk and camera pans down and he's still got the sandals on or the sneakers where he still doesn't blend in.
Yeah.
But he does clean himself up. That was like, clean him up.
Like,
why is he a hobo still? That doesn't make sense. Where I see him with the sneakers and the suit, I'm like,
well,
I don't get it.
You know, some of us live by the homeless chic fashion mentality.
Oh.
I mean, you
okay.
should see my shoes under here, guys. I always wear Birkenstocks, even when I wear a suit.
And the camera panned down.
Yeah.
Okay. The Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and I do love the Converse because they are easy to move in, and they're very much like, okay, they're nice shoes. You insisted on not having dress shoes. Fine. This is as good as it gets.
Okay.
Like, I did like that touch in terms of wardrobe for him.
And we've got some hashtags that fit right in line with this conversation. Peter Watson says, hashtag Labradoodle Man. So,
nice.
Yeah, I like that. And also, hashtag Nanny Rand.
Nanny, that's good too.
I almost want Luke Cage to show up and give him a yellow do-rag at this point. We need the mask, and we could at least make it funny. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Because this is when we got into, not our first martial arts scene, but we got into a fighting tournament, essentially.
Right.
Is he has the person who makes this synthetic heroin for the hand. He has Radovan. And they are going to want him back. And I love the message was just, oh, you as a guard failed. We're going to stake you to the inside of a truck and leave a challenge in your mouth because
yeah.
that is your purpose now. Like, God.
Yeah.
And Pharaon444 calls it top ramen hair. I've never
yes.
heard that, but that's amazing.
Have you not? Do you all remember 90s Justin Timberlake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chia.
He is more of a blonde Shia. The Justin Timberlake look is the crunchy look. Like if you took a hammer.
Toned it down somewhat. They've given a little bit of a trim. He looks a little more put together with the Defenders, but
I think they took their time for the Defenders. That's news and gossip territory. We need talk a little bit more about this. But yeah, we get into our first essentially fighting tournament. It's this challenge saying, okay, if I win, I get Sabina, I get Radovan's daughter, right, which was the leverage they had over him, and you get the hell out of Rand. Yeah. Well, great. If we win, you get out of our dealings. Great.
Right.
I liked the creativity for some of these fight scenes. I loved Scythe. I loved the third person that he fought. I loved the introduction to each of them.
The butchers
were moving in sync.
And the letters to them.
Yeah. Entomology is not the study of spiders, by the way. That's something completely different.
Yeah, entomology is actually just the study of insects, which spiders are arachnids, not insects. Fun fact, guys.
My biologist friend went up one tree and down another when she saw that. I'm like, are you okay? She's like, no! And then just introducing Scythe with him doing karaoke in this room full of people that he has murdered. What a great character introduction.
That was so like a Quentin Tarantino movie. It was amazing. I was like, I love that because I love karaoke and I love people being bloody and bad all over in the scene here.
And it was take on me. I wanted him to hit that high note. I wanted to be like, yep, just do the thing. It's going to be great.
And I thought that song was perfect.
Yeah. He was into it.
He was having a great time. So that, again, it's the small things and it's the side characters. All three of these character introductions were just so interesting.
Right.
Especially that last one. And then he fights them and it's like, the scene is not better for having you in it.
Like,
sadly.
Yeah. Like, the Bride of Nine Spares, I loved her, but that area they were in, it looked like a... Like, you know when you go to, like...
Unfinished construction.
Yeah, but it was like, it looked like a middle school's haunted house with, like, paper they cut little spider web holes. I was just like, what? You could have done something different with this. You didn't need that.
Just keep this? Like, the first area was obviously, okay, this is meant for fighting. We're making a circle with our own blood because we're just that hardcore.
Yeah, okay.
All right, guys, we'll do you.
Yeah. Sure.
And then the third arena was also set up, like, we're fighting in this space, here's a rack of weapons, go.
Yeah, very cool
stuff. But that second one really did look like a bad video game stage.
Yeah, you're like, why? It is such a cool fight with the pricks that she kept putting them in with the needles, and I was like, this is great. But just the setting itself, I was just like, what's going on with this thing?
What I couldn't figure out was that he was suddenly okay by the time the third fight rolled around.
He
wasn't bleeding, he didn't have any more spider poison in him, he was fine. It's like, it's the rarest spider poison, but
just
it evidently isn't very
like to cleanse yourself. It showed that, you know, him cleansing with the pulling a hand and seeing the yellow going through his body and just maybe getting rid of the venom or something.
Like
but
meditating.
I think I blinked and missed that.
I didn't see. No, that's not in there.
I legit don't remember.
No, that wasn't in there. But I'm saying, it should have been. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
See, no, you didn't miss anything.
It's like, wait a minute. I think I would have remembered that scene.
But put that in there. That would have been a quick one.
Yeah.
Real quick, flushes the poison out of his body.
Why is he so respectful to Madame Gao? Like, why is he on such good terms?
Because she presented herself as a servant. She said, my master accepts these terms. Mm. So from the get-go, she did not present herself as the terrifying head of this organization. We know that, but we have some dramatic irony going on because Danny has, he's just fighting the hand.
Right. And he has no
idea what the faces of the hand look like.
I was like, you're being very nice to this lady that's basically doing this to you.
Yeah, well, he also had some idea of honor because he was totally going to throw down in this tournament. It was going to be great. And then she pulls out Sabina and goes, you forfeit or she dies.
Well, cheating. It's kind of crappy,
absolutely.
But hey, it's what to be expected.
And what use have I for honor and revealing that she'd been to Kunlun before.
Yeah.
I love just that bit of her talking about the tree.
And
in the summer it bloomed and smelled like brown sugar. It's the little details.
Yeah.
It really is.
She can't be killed.
And then owning him.
Is that correct? Yeah. She can't be killed?
I don't know.
I read that somewhere. I remember like reading a comic and Madame Gao like can't die.
She's still around.
But we do kind of have to throw away comic continuity for this show because we're working in an alternate universe.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean... I don't know. I don't know where I was going to go with this because I haven't watched past six. I don't know.
Because even Frick, or the guy from Netflix, like, he seemed like kind of almost scared of her. Like, oh, I better not mess with her. You know, like kind of like he knew something was up.
Well, she is the head of the hand. That's a
the head of the hand.
Just one of those phrases where it's like, did that just come out of my mouth? Yeah, it did. Okay. Chat, if anyone knows whether or not she can be killed, if that was confirmed in Daredevil at any point or anything like that, please let us know. Again, spoiler free. But yeah, if anyone can confirm that, that would be fantastic. But yeah, just I appreciated the people fighting Danny more than I did the fights.
Yeah.
If that makes
I liked what they were trying
sense.
To do with it.
Yeah.
I appreciated that, so...
Well, and that hits on all of my I grew up on shonen anime sensibilities. Yeah. So it's like fighting tournament. All right, I'm in. Let's do the. Okay, that happened.
Yeah.
So that, and we also have Danny talking to Lei Kung. Is it Lei Kung?
Yeah, Lei Kung.
All right. His mentor.
Right.
And I'm always kind of towing the line between is he actually there or is Danny just hallucinating something awful?
How? Like the first time they shot him, I was like, well, there was a guy in the corner there. Is he talking to him? They didn't make it clear until a couple times later when you saw him. I was like, oh, it's.
I think only Danny could see him.
And I thought, well, yeah, there's no question of that because everyone else thinks he's nuts.
Yeah.
I kind of feel it's more like, say, the show Dexter and how Dexter would always talk to his dad, Harry, where it seems very real, like he is, but it's really just in his head. And I think they do a good... Those are actually very interesting scenes to me because he's talking out loud. And I don't think Danny's to the point where he gets that people might think he's crazy. And again, that's one of those things that somewhat makes him a little bit more endearing.
Yeah. Madame Gao looked like she understood what was happening when he was in the corner. Like, Madame Gao kind of, like, looks over and she's just peaceful. So I think maybe she picked up.
Maybe she picked up what he was doing,
You know?
And it's possible that he does have some kind of spiritual connection of some sort or something.
Right.
Still with, Kunlun. Thank you. Like I said, I'm just losing words all over the place tonight. So it's possible that that's a thing, and most people just can't see it for one reason or another.
Unless you've been there, maybe.
He's like, I think he's like tethered to it.
Yeah,
like at least metaphysically.
Yeah.
What if that's one of Madame Gao's tricks? Yeah. Like maybe she has some hallucinogen.
Do you guys almost feel like this show?
Seeing him other places as well.
Yeah, like they're not pushing the mysticism far enough.
Oh, they're not.
And I feel like because as viewers, and it's still the same world, that Doctor Strange, they kind of broke through with mysticism. And I thought they would now kind of go, okay, since that's set it up in the MCU, they'll go for it. But they're not. And I don't know why they're trying to keep it so real. It's like mysticism's out there. We know there's Dormammu and all this, and that those things affected the world. Just kind of like the invasion they always talk about with New York.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know there's mysticism out there. Why are they tiptoeing with this stuff?
I feel that, again, I hate to make another Arrow comparison, but it is sort of how they treat Arrow in the DC TV universe and the fact of... Yes, we know there's the Flash, we know there's aliens, we know all of this, but we still try to keep this show as much grounded as possible, that they'll have a magical character like John Constantine, drinking game if you play that, guys. it's an inside joke. And then Damian Dark, but they still try to keep it a little bit more grounded. And maybe that's their idea, although with Iron Fist... That's so much of the story.
I know.
Maybe they're leading up to it, but
and just talking about the dragon and talking a little okay, I know as a Netflix show you only have a certain amount of budget, but you can do camera tricks to make us think that there's just like shoot it from another angle and then don't do the CGI.
Thing. And you've built so much goodwill with four seasons of the shows already. Like the audience will go with you. Like okay, they might not like it, but. Take the chance on it. Go for it. Like, really, they're not pushing the envelope. And again, I don't know what happens now. Maybe we will see more of Kunlun and Dragon. And I don't know. I feel like we're not going to, which is disappointing.
No, we need to.
Because I know they've even said he's not getting a costume. So we know that, which kind of sucks.
Have they said he's not getting a costume?
They said that, like, they came out at the beginning saying what we're doing. And I don't even think he gets one of the Defenders, to be honest with you. But the designer said for this show that there is no costume. And I thought it might be like a Daredevil season 1 where at the very end, I mean, but it's ceremonial robes. Ceremonial robes. Can't you just have something like that in this head thing? Like,
or just even Daredevil season one. He had that black ensemble kind of outfit that he wore.
And everyone fell in love with that. By the end of season one, you were like, I want the black costume again. It was so good.
Yeah.
So it's like...
And it was very much, audience members,
we will not question it. We're going to go like, nah, that looks a little weird. You know, it didn't have to be the open shirt with the high collar and the little booties. It didn't need to be that, but something.
Just don't CGI the mask and it'll be fine.
Yeah,
we learned that lesson with Green Lantern.
And that's the thing, is you could easily just have like a green shirt and the yellow do-rag, as I put earlier. It's like little things, just even just wearing
and
all green.
Tie his hands up with like yellow like wraps.
Yeah, or like, even just like yellow Ninja Turtle style mask.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be the full over the head.
Right, like that.
Might actually look
better.
You guys don't. You guys aren't digging the suit. The suit with the Converse.
I'm not digging the idea that we as an audience can't handle mysticism inherent in the character meeting a freaking dragon and a costume in a world where mysticism and costumed heroes are an established thing with a capital T.
If this was Netflix's and Marvel's first show out of the gate, I'd understand. You would go, okay, we don't know how our audience is going to feel for this. But you've got four shows that everyone universally pretty much loves.
Yeah.
You've built the goodwill.
Yeah.
Go, do what, you know, go
it's
crazy.
Like,
but
and we keep going back to Arrow. Season one, they said we're not going to do anything magical because they were very much dealing with, we're just trying to work on the show. There wasn't an extended universe down the line. So we're just going to try and keep it a little grounded and pull in the viewers on our network because we're trying to build this brand. Netflix and Marvel, these shows already had a brand because Avengers and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. already existed by the time Daredevil dropped. So we knew that they were capable of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so it already had all that backing. And then Daredevil was just flat out amazing in season one. So it has a lot going for it. Giving us mysticism and giving us a costume is not a risk.
No, I mean,
it's just not.
We already have, like, a Daredevil costume, so why not give Danny Rand a costume? I get that Jessica Jones and Luke Cage don't really wear anything.
They don't need one,
but
that's fine.
That's fine. I mean, because their thing is super strength or not being able to get shot. Okay, we got that. But
and I mean,
when you're
Luke
Kung
Cage,
Fu Master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Luke Cage had a throwback to the classic costume. And that was
at least a joke. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, just say a do-rag, hands wrapped with something, and a green kind of shirt. That's it. Some kind of robe or something.
Or give him Under Armour. Give him, I don't know, bare chest. He's got the tattoo on it. Like,
something.
It just, there's so much that you could do, and saying, no, we're not going to do it at all at this point feels like cowardice.
Yeah.
I don't get the reason why. I just don't understand why.
We have other reasons not to like the show.
Yeah.
Let's be completely real. Oh, he's wearing a costume is absolutely not one of them.
No,
we're expecting
that was
a
the
costume.
Least of their worries with what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah. So we've knocked out most of the Danny stuff. I want to talk about Ward a little more just because he has the best character arc going on right now. Because right now this is the downward spiral.
Yeah. When he slammed his hand in the car, that wasn't that hard of a slam on the car door. Like, it was kind of like a bow. But for his hand to turn like that, I was like, oh, what kind of car door is that? Or like, how weak is your hand? That was a crazy scene for me. I was like, okay, what's that supposed to do?
Oh, my mom broke all of her fingers by getting him slammed in a door. So I saw that and kind of went,
No, I'm saying, but like, the force that he did it with, it was kind of like him just, bam, I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
It was just him excusing himself to do more heroin. You know,
no, like, I see that.
Not even heroin. He just wanted painkillers.
Yeah.
But his hand went deformed. Yeah. Like, he was like middle aged.
like
with a purple. Like, whoa, from that door slam. All right.
Like, I'm going to do more drugs. Ah, I'm hurt. I have to.
I need a prescription.
Yeah.
But. And just realizing that, he's kind of a, I don't even know if it is low key, painkiller addict.
Yeah.
Not low key. He's
a full blown,
Slamming,
But I love, like, watching the withdrawal symptoms and seeing how that affected him, and just the makeup job done on that was.
Yeah, makeup was really good on him.
And I will say, I'm very impressed with this storyline because oftentimes drug addiction storylines are very well wrapped up really quickly and they don't really delve into, like, the withdrawal symptoms and stuff like that. But again, this comes back to War is just so much more of a fleshed out character with this real problem that they're actually addressing here in an interesting way. And I like that.
Well, and his life is just kind of hell right now. Yeah. He's under his dad's thumb. His dad is recording his office, and God knows if dad is recording his home as well.
Right.
We don't know. He was able to get cameras in a mental hospital. Who knows where else he gets
that's
them.
That's true, yeah.
And he's under, yeah, he has to do what dad says. No one knows except for Danny. And then when they met, Danny, dad immediately painted him as the villain and himself as the victim to get Danny to work with them. So at this point, everything is against Ward. From the outside, it looks like he's on top of the world. And from the inside, he is out of control of his own life.
Yeah. And what's cool about him, I saw there was either an interview or just a picture of him as the actor. They do such a good job on this show, because when I see him on that show, I just want to punch him in the face. Because he reminds me of, like, one of the Trump kids.
Yeah. He does.
He's just got that look. But in person, I don't know if it's just the way they style his hair and stuff. I was like, oh, he seems like such a nice guy, good-looking guy. Like, kind of, like, he has this completely different air than he does in the show. Because on the show, whatever they do to make him this douchey, you just look at, like, that's the guy you want to see on the street and punch him. You can't stand to look at this guy.
And now we
so
feel
now
bad
I appreciate it more. And I know, and seeing this, what he's going through, and he's kind of losing it, he's falling apart. I didn't like him at the first couple episodes, and I think that because he just had that
douchebag.
Yeah. But now I'm like, I feel for this guy. I'm like,
I don't feel for him at all. I don't feel any time something crazy happens to Ward, I'm like, all right, it's going to make him a better person.
Okay, all right.
Like, douche has become bigger deuces, actually, when they're faced with adversity. But so become a bigger deuce, Ward.
God bless Joy.
Yeah.
For doing what she can to keep him in line, for having the empathy for the cancer victims. And just like, no, this is the worst meeting ever because, oh God, this is what we were going through when Dad had cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the two most important people in her life know that Dad is still alive or back alive and can't tell her. I'm waiting for Ward to be on some form of drugs and just tell her.
Oh. I think that we're gearing up towards that.
Yeah,
I can definitely see that happening. And to me, Jessica Stroop and Tom Pelfrey, who's a soap actor, that's how I knew him. And I almost didn't recognize him as Ward. They're doing such a good job of making these characters who should be terrible, but we like them. And that's the thing. And Joy, not so much as Ward, but yeah, as you said, it's about how he parts his hair. And there is some psychology there.
It is.
It's very arrogant.
And it's so, like, not petty, superficial, but there's just something, because I saw this picture of him, and I'm just like, he doesn't look anything like he does in the show. And I was like, oh. It's like, yeah, he had kind of a warmth about him almost in this interview and article that was online.
Yeah, and they say a lot of it does have to do with parting your hair a certain way, because there's some lovely articles on the psychology of hair parting featuring Ryan Gosling, where you're like, this is Ryan Gosling, where we love him, think he's great, all of this, and then this is Ryan Gosling and Lars in the Real Girl. Now you're like, this guy's creepy. And
really?
It does sometimes come down to the part. Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
There's psychology
in mind.
That is interesting.
That's good to know. I'll have to look that up and maybe start playing some mind games with people.
Work on my hair part.
Well, Ward is just the picture of smarmy asshole business.
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
And now that we're starting to get under that and see, oh, this is why, oh, this is how he became this way, because I'm sure Dad was not more loving in life before he died and then came back and continued to be terrible.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Havoc 6280 in the chat says, Ward's dad is an abusive asshole. Mimi M is like, Danny is more of a crybaby than Ward, and Ward had it hard. I mean, as much as you think Danny living in the monastery and having this life outside of all this money, some people may see that as Danny having it rough. But is it really? I mean, those people took care of him in some ways. And this Ward, he's got this abusive father. So, not necessarily.
Danny had to fight a dragon at some point. Like, back, you know, like, that's Ward never had to fight a dragon.
Danny chose to fight a dragon.
A metaphorical dragon that is a drug, you know, that is often
that is
used
true.
For drug
abuse.
Yeah, Ward is fighting Oracle Dragon.
Ward is fighting Puff the Magic Dragon. Yes.
Ain't nobody get that effed up on Puff the Magic Dragon, I can tell you that.
Well, Ward's is an abuse narrative.
No.
And you don't like to think that way because, oh, he's a rich kid and he's the head of a company and he should be just fine. Well, being rich doesn't make your family any less abusive.
Right.
It just puts you in a different economic bracket for it.
Yeah, you still have the same problems. It doesn't matter. It don't go away.
Yeah. He could just say no to that, though. He could just say no.
I don't think he's in that position.
Yeah, he's not.
He knows that they're in with the hand at this point, yeah, though, and that the hand was able to bring his dad back to life.
Basically,
if they can do that, what else are they capable of? And if he talks, what happens to Joy?
Okay, yeah, he can't talk. I don't think he can mess with the hand. But his dad, like, he can't say no to the hand. No. I'll give you that. But his dad, though?
Well, that's why like the dad wants Danny. Because he's like, he knows that Iron Fist is the, you know, the
sworn enemy of the hand.
So that's his card to play. But
because the hand's not coming to Ward asking for favors. They're going to his dad.
Yeah. True, but they need Rand Enterprises.
Yeah.
And so if Harold is no longer able to work through Ward to make that work, do they move on to Joy? And is Ward staying where he is because throwing his sister to the wolves is not an option?
Yeah.
That could go through Danny, too.
It's still an abuse narrative.
Because Danny knows.
True.
Yeah. And Danny, you know, he'll make decisions quick, you know, just like that. Like, oh, no, I want this to happen.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do it if the hand is telling him to. Or he might. I don't know. It just, Danny's in a very different position than Ward is at this point. Danny can physically fight back and has a mission. And Ward is stuck.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part is like, are we supposed to be cheering for Ward? Or are we supposed to be cheering for Danny? And it's almost like several other shows where I find I like the villain often more than the hero because I understand his perspective more. And a lot of the chat is bringing up about Joy. They're like, I don't think she's going to be as good as she sort of has been in the, you know, the cancer storyline and being able to relate to these people. As Mimi M points out, if Joy was treated like Ward was, she would be pure evil too. I mean, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And a lot of people speculate maybe she's actually worse than him. We just haven't seen it.
Yeah, just more low-key, more smooth with it.
I feel like we're halfway through the episode. Either they're saving that for one hell of a twist, or they would have set it up by now. I know that's putting a lot of faith in the show, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
They have been doing setups for things that I am sure we will see further down the line. So I think Joy is kind of meant to be our balance for her brother, for her dad, and a lifeline for Danny.
All right. I definitely could see that.
All right.
That's my take on things.
But she does handle situations very smooth and calm.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So if something bad was to go down and somebody wants to get away with it, I'll look at Joy first. Just because, like, she's not going to make a scene. She's not going to break down because she did something bad.
Yeah.
She'll be smooth with it. Where Ward is going to go get his pain medic, you know, his meds and stuff, trying to cope with the pain. So, I don't know.
Yeah. So, we'll see. We're halfway through.
That's true.
13 episodes. Yeah, about halfway through so far. So, we'll see how that shakes out. And I think the last thing we need to cover for this episode is Colleen and Claire. And, God, poor Radovan.
I know.
Yeah. We're going to seal your collapsed lung with a credit card, and then we're going to send you to a hospital.
Yeah, the poor guy not wanting to go and, you know, starts bleeding out there at that one point. Oh, right. And I'm like, what do they say? Like, they got a credit card and he'll suck in the air so it'll form a seal on it. And you're just like, it's got
to
be.
I had to fast forward that part. I couldn't take it. I fast forwarded. I was like, all right.
And I still don't get why a credit card. There were maybe a lot of other things that would have made more sense, but I'm guessing it was just to have something that maybe wouldn't work, so he had to go to the hospital.
Well, it's the right size, it's durable, and it's something that he absolutely would not have had on him.
And it wouldn't have sucked into the hole, like some kind of cardboard. No. Not even cardboard,
it
like
wouldn't
paper.
Soak in.
Wooden blood would not deteriorate it.
I would also.
I don't question that, Claire. Claire knows her stuff.
I would also imagine that this is not the first time Claire has had to do this.
No,
just Given saying.
Always bad.
You know, it's sometimes in shows like this, a character like Claire is kind of like that Deus Ex Machina, where it's like she's the cure all for whatever the problem is. But I don't ever feel this on the Netflix shows. Yeah, she's always able to help, and she always knows her stuff. Like, you know, the one scene in Daredevil where she knew where to like put his finger in the eye or whatever to get him to talk without hurting him, and she knows stuff, and it's never like, oh, well, they needed this, so Claire will write her in the scene to do this. It just feels so natural with how they write that character.
Well, and it also helps that she is aware of her own brand of luck. Like,
yes.
Why do I keep running into you people? She's just this side of the fourth wall.
Yes.
And I love that about her, and that's actually part of what makes the character work.
Right.
Yeah, I always love reluctant leaders or reluctant just in the scene characters like Claire is, sort of like the McRory of Legends of Tomorrow. You're reluctantly there, but you just know you're needed, and you're like, oh, whatever, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Just fine. Yeah. Seriously, fine. Oh, my God, let's just get this taken care of so I can get back on with my life.
Oh, actually, Havoc6280 tells me that a credit card is what you're taught in first aid to use on a sucking chest wound.
Oh.
So, yeah, I've had first aid classes, and I've never had that in there. So
I hope I never have to see a sucking chest wound in my life.
Yeah,
I hope to God I never. No, in real life. The sight of blood, the smell of what's probably coming out of that hole. And if it's a sucking chest wound, so it's like you see the blood bubbling and being sucked in.
Collapsed lung is what she said.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Obviously, I didn't have a good class at the YMCA, guys. So I never learned that. I know super glue on wounds, but... Yeah, not the credit card thing.
I don't think we ever got to that point.
You.
Oh, man, alive. Yeah, and we take him to the hospital, and we immediately lose him to the hand, because the hand the hospital is kind of neck-deep and sinking in the hand, and it's the same one that Claire was at, the same one that was attacked.
Right.
And they've probably just kind of gone, yeah, we own this one now. Okay.
Yeah. And we had the, and now, correct me if I'm wrong, but we had the character that was in Daredevil, right? The head nurse.
Yeah.
I like that character, too. So she's kind of cool to have around.
Yeah, and one hand, it's like, okay, Claire, why did you take this here when you knew the hand were here? On the other hand, it's the...
hand pun.
Why would you call that your... God. I mean, in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they were the foot, but that was less likely to be used in a random sentence. the hand versus the foot. Who's going to win? Let's go. That is a death battle I would watch.
She would, you know, she knows she can go with no questions asked.
Yeah.
If you show up with a guy with a chest wound like that, there's going to be cops involved in this and that. So I think she's pulling those favor cards. You know, it's funny thinking about this because we got that character, we have Claire. Someone made a great point, I was talking to Twitter, that it sucks that Ben Urich is no longer... in this universe, because he would have been a great connective tissue with all these shows as well, like another one. Not just so Claire's constantly popping up in everyone. Ben Urich would have been such a great character, but his death was so good, and it's such a great scene with him and Wilson Fisk.
Yeah,
but I do miss Ben Urich, and again, like we have to throw the comics out, but Ben Urich is that connective tissue that now Claire's kind of taken. But you had to have both of them in there. That would have been, you know, everything. It wouldn't have been as much coincidence. But I digress.
I mean, and you have to throw comics readers for a loop, because otherwise they
sit there
and go,
I think
exactly
we all watching that. We're all like, what? Oh!
Yeah. Like, please don't. Please stop. Oh, God.
Because he's such a good actor, too.
Oh,
so good.
Forget when Wilson Fisk is in the room, you just kind of scoot back a little.
Now, do you guys...
I love D'Onofrio, though.
Oh, he's amazing.
Do you guys miss... Do you miss Fisk? That he's not... Because I guess now we're going to get Sigourney Weaver... coming up with the hand and this. We don't know what's going on with that. But I don't know why Fisk was not at the center of all this.
Saving him for Punisher or Daredevil Season 3.
Okay.
Punisher's slated for this year as well.
Yeah, that's filming right now, so... Yeah, I think... Did they say November for Punisher?
Yeah, November for Punisher,
let's
I think
let's swing into news and gossip.
Okay.
Let's just go ahead and call this news and gossip.
All right, let's get it.
Because I want Fisk on every show, because I love D'Onofrio, but...
He's so good in that role. But,
yeah.
So Jessica Jones just started filming.
Yes.
That's just like a day or two.
Yeah.
Punisher's almost done. So I think Punisher's November. Defenders is, that's the weird one where we're going to get the, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. We had a teaser drop today, a whole 16 seconds of black and white footage showing the four of them in an elevator, just kind of hanging out, waiting for something to happen before Jessica notices the camera and takes it out. And when that happens, we stop on what
the time code.
The time code is the date. So it's what, 8/18/2017?
Uh-huh.
So August 18th, y'all.
So it's a cool kind of way of saying, hey, this is when it's dropping.
Yeah.
And again,
and then they later confirmed that, yes, that is the date.
And we've always had a like March, April, and a November for the shows. That's when they always drop. So this Defenders is not disrupting that schedule. We're going to get the 8 in August, and then... I guess Punisher, they haven't said it, but Punisher should be November, right?
Yeah, that's what I was Googling right now, and they said nothing official has been said yet, but it looks like November, since it does say release date 2017.
Yeah.
And as you say, that's sort of how they've been.
Right. And I think with Jessica Jones filming now, that would be like the March slot, and then Daredevil 3 would be 2018 November?
Technically,
if they're going off of their... spring and fall drops.
Possibly. They who knows?
Yeah.
Honestly. But it'll be interesting to see the Defenders. I'm looking forward to this. We'll have to see how Iron Fist ends, because I'm a little disappointed that we have the, hey, they're fighting the Hand and Madame Gao, and I'm like, oh, so he fails in this series.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's like they've jumped ahead, and something that's a little disconcerting for me, and I was talking to some friends of mine, the showrunner for Iron Fist, Scott Buck, I believe, he's the showrunner for the Defenders.
I worry.
So that to me, but I did not know that. I'm just kind of like, and he's a guy, we talked about Dexter, right?
He did Dexter. The last few seasons after the Trinity Killer storyline.
Yeah,
picked
and
up,
that's where, when Dexter started kind of going downhill,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, there were a few bright spots, because I know a lot of people hated the Edward James Olmos ghost storyline, but I loved it, because I love Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was weird, but it was funny.
So I'm curious how this is going to bode.
Well, we'll have to see how this goes. We'll have to see. I've heard a lot that Iron Fist picks up after episode 6, picks up after episode 7, that our back six are really good. So we're getting into that territory as a show.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I've gotten a lot of assurances
there. Yeah, they reached out to me and they're like, hey, just stick. I know you're only watching every week a couple. Give it the 6 in the back. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll finish. We're not going to not finish it.
And that's also the issue with the first 6 episodes were pre-released to reviewers, so we've seen those
that's
6
true.
Episodes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where you can see, okay, usually for a Marvel Netflix show, the first 6 or the first 8 are really good, and then there's a twist, and the second half of the season tends to have to struggle to keep up on that quality.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the rule of thumb, usually, for a Marvel Netflix show. And so they release the first 6, and you go, these are supposed to be the good ones?
Yeah. Mm.
But supposedly they flipped that on its head.
Maybe,
I say supposedly because we're not there.
And maybe because he said he only had 3 weeks, but now he's had 6 episodes, which probably a couple months of filming, where he's maybe getting more comfortable with the martial arts. He's picking up the choreography, so it's faster, so those 15 minutes they had before to film it, maybe they have a shorthand they develop with the stunt people, or they know how to cheat the stuntman in it more, maybe. Or they could have given him a mask and that could cover your stuntman.
And hopefully they will start paying off some of the things that they've been setting up earlier on.
Because there's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
so many threads out there right now.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes as well. I'm still intrigued. I'm still in this. Let's do the thing. But, yeah, depending on how this series go will also kind of depend on how I look at Defenders. Because I'm excited because 3 for 4 are characters that I adore.
Yes.
And it's kind of hard to mess that up going in with 3 really solid characters.
And someone told me, Netflix, this is its highest rated show so far of the year.
Huh.
The numbers came out for it. And my friends were telling me, and they put this thing, it rated higher than Daredevil, the first season, and Jessica Jones. It's
Daredevil,
like the numbers, the numbers that they got. I don't know how they. I'm sure you could look it up there. The numbers that they correlate for me, I was kind of like, well, it's only 3 months in on this year, and it's already its highest rated show. Okay, well, that doesn't really say much. What else has come out?
Santa Clarita Diet was pretty good,
and
so
Lemony
that's
Snicket.
Why I'm like,
so maybe it's rated higher than those.
Yeah.
Voltron has real good
numbers. And I was like, well, but then my friend said, well, its numbers were higher, scored higher than like Daredevil season 2 or Daredevil season 1 and Jessica Jones. I'm like, oh,
see Daredevil season 1 though, because it was the first one, and that, you know, it was, they're starting to get their bearings. It wasn't as highly publicized as Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But Jessica Jones, I'm like, nah. I don't buy that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Or the only thing I'm thinking is people know they have to watch this because Defenders, and they want Defenders.
Yeah.
You can't go in not missing this one puzzle piece.
I'm also wondering if it's not a snowball effect. Mm. If they're not looking at the binge numbers the first week or so.
Because
you have people who were Johnny on the spot for Daredevil, and then people who came on later, and then those people went into Jessica Jones, and then more people came on later for that.
Those people went
into Daredevil season 2, and then Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And now we have Iron Fist, and we have all these people across these other 4 seasons that are like, yes, okay, we're in it, we're going to watch this. It comes out on not necessarily a holiday weekend, but
you're recovering
from St. Patrick's Day the next day, you're hungover, you're not leaving the house. Let's do this.
That's a good point, yeah.
So it's entirely possible that's it. I don't know how Netflix ratings work.
I have no clue either, because they don't
do
like the Nielsen
voodoo
thing.
Magic.
Yeah. So
Nielsen is skewed anyway, let's be real.
That's such an outdated.
They're so off.
Outdated.
Yeah.
But that's what we have.
That's a whole other show.
Yes, it is.
Before we move into predictions, we have a couple of iTunes reviews because you guys are wonderful human beings. Oh. The best thing you can do to keep us on the air as an after show and as a series of after shows, because y'all know we're going to try and look at Defenders, right?
Yes.
Like, you know we all want to talk about that. The best thing you can do for us as a show is to go onto iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a review. The more ratings and the higher ratings that you leave, the higher we come up on podcast searches so that people will find the show more easily. Also, our producers do look at those reviews, do see that you like the show, and then, hey, we come back another week, and it's awesome. And you get a shout-out. So who do we have this week?
All right. By Friday Lover. I like that name. Oh, let me do sexy voice. Another DC TV thing. Podcast better than show? ?5 stars. The panel is great and deserve better than having to watch this underwhelming series. Still, if I had to watch all of it, I feel better knowing these wonderful folks had to as well. I also want to hear their thoughts and am subscribing.
I'm not sure if that's support or schadenfreude.
Mm.
But nice, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, now, the 502 Entourage says, no Zach Wilson? 5 stars, though. Marvel AfterBuzz podcast without Zach Wilson? Weird. I love the diversity of this panel. Not everyone is a diehard Marvel fan, so it's nice to hear different opinions. I think that this is a great show. Go that what has been given to us. It feels as if the writers are trying to put Danny into our world instead of put us into his world. It is as if it had two boards, one with the business and one of the martial arts, and they went more business. And why do I feel like Danny is still becoming the Iron Fist instead of him becoming the Iron Fist for a while?
So 502 Entourage is going to start running their own after show.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah. Did he kill the dragon like the lady last day before Kunlun opened back up on Earth and then walked into New York only to have powers for a month? Great show. Great panel. Look forward to the next 6 to 7 episodes of the podcast with you all.
Well, thank you guys for watching.
Insightful commentary there.
I know. That's I was like, this is really long. Yeah, I'm getting like choked up. Yeah. Okay.
That's great.
And we had a really funny hashtag from Artmaster Austin's Prophet. You're always good with the hashtags. Hashtag dirty hand versus stinky foot.
Oh, good Lord.
I like that one.
Hey. All right.
I'm in it. I'm enjoying that. All right. Do we have any predictions going in?
I do.
You're after Buzz TV.
And the second light show of the night.
Because I didn't want to say it earlier, I have a feeling that Danny and Ward are going to team up. Danny's going to help him against Joy. I think Joy's going to turn out to be not the main bad guy, but she's going to turn bad, I think. And I think Ward and Danny are going to have this kind of brotherly bond. And I think that I foresee that happening, helping him break away from his father. That's my prediction.
I would like to see that. My prediction is, and a lot of chat has been speculating it, I hate for this to happen, but it could bring the Defenders together, is Claire's death. Since she is the...
But isn't she in Defenders?
Yes.
Yeah. I think she's been...
Like, I think she's been slated to be a part of it. But yeah, you just never know with them. And I'm like, what?
And also, can we not kill the prominent woman of color in all four series? Just can we not?
No, they can't kill her. I think she's too well-loved.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, but with Ben, we all loved him and expected him. They're mean, you know?
But that was Daredevil.
Yeah.
Like, bad things happened in Daredevil, you know? Yeah. Like, characters were off. I think Danny's going to get with Claire at some point. Oh. Maybe, like, episode 12, 11. I don't know. So he's going to, like, kiss her or something. To some passionate music.
I think we're going to have a moment where Ward, in one capacity or another, tells Joy, Dad's still alive. He's been giving me orders. He's been running this company through me. I do think it's going to be through a drug-addled haze, but I might be wrong on that aspect. But that's kind of the corner that I'm sitting in now, is that that's going to happen, and that's going to open a whole other can of worms.
Yes.
She'll have that, oh, you're going through withdrawal, it's fine, or, oh, no, you're still drugged out, you know, you don't know what you're saying, and then start thinking about it and digging and then getting herself in trouble.
Yeah, I think if that's how it goes down, which makes total sense with the way that they're writing it, I feel like she's going to feel left out of that knowledge from her father, and then this will be what takes her to an evil turn.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think she's going to be evil. Come on, you guys. Really?
I do.
Yeah. Really?
There's a rift coming with the two of them.
She's a very cool
There's a big
girl
rift
character.
Coming. I think. Yeah.
That's all right.
All right. We'll find out.
We will find out. Thank you guys for joining us on Mike. Where can the people find you?
Find me right at Mike Kalaski on Twitter and all the other social medias.
Emmanuel Wright, Young Cameltone, David Spitz.
Hey guys, since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And tonight, sadly, is the Legends of Tomorrow finale. Be here to win the last doodle of the year.
Yeah. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. Samurai Jack is Sundays at 8 p.m. And we are starting Attack on Titan. That's good. Season 2 has started to air. That should be Mondays at 8. We will give you more details on that as that arises. And Arrow is on hiatus for the next 3 weeks because they really enjoy their spring break. Yeah. That will be back at the end of the month. I'm also a regular on Gather Your Party Friday nights on Geek and Sundry. That's twitch.tv/Geek and Sundry Friday nights at 7 p.m. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Mortal Kombat!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.